offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterton every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterton provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very, very privileged today to have with us Andrew Meltzer. And he's a special education attorney with the firm of Sussin.
You got it.
I got it. Well, one out of four. Sussin, Greenwald, and Wessler. And their practice focuses on advocating for children with special needs so they have the access to education they require and deserve. And you wanted to talk about something, right?
Sure. So a lot of families, when they're thinking about long-term planning for their loved one, especially when they have a mental illness, developmental disability, any sort of disability, is what do I do after I'm gone? Where are they going to live? There's a number of different options for disabilities across New Jersey. The most well-known is the group home, which is about four individuals in a home, staffed 24/7, with staff grouped according to similar levels of functioning.
Right.
There's also supervised apartments where an individual will have either their own apartment or be with a roommate in a complex with staff available 24/7. Then there's supportive housing where they live completely on their own but have help available 24/7. And then it steps down, so on and so forth. One of the things that I've seen is that when it comes to housing for the psychiatrically disabled or someone with a very severe mental illness that can't be monitored or that has to be monitored 24/7 or have some high-level supervision, there's a woefully inadequate housing supply out there for them.
Yes.
While there are group homes, it's often they're referred to by state hospitals, which means the individual has to get to such a crisis in order to qualify for that housing. Otherwise, they're on the wait list for years. And one of the myths about mental health is that people think, oh, if my child or adult child is not violent, I can't get them help. That's wrong. In fact, one of the biggest tragedies of our mental health system is that there are oftentimes many individuals that are at home, not participating in society, that are in a way invisible. And it's not that they're causing a problem, but their illness is such that it renders them unable to function. Right. In other words, a grave disability. Some states have standards that enable the state to give them help if they're in that way. New Jersey is in between. But going along with that, there's plain and simple not enough housing for these types of individuals. And if they have some sort of supported or supervised housing that can work on building their level of independence, that's so important. So, I mean, for any legislators that are listening or would listen, one of the things that could be a good model for New Jersey, the Division of Developmental Disabilities has a wide consortium of residential options and supports that can be brought within the home or in the community for individuals with disabilities, including housing. By looking to that model, but applying it to individuals with primarily psychiatric illnesses, that could be a great way to set up more housing around the state. There really needs to be a much bigger change. There needs to be more funding. And while I'm fully supportive of community-based housing, what's happened is after a lot of the mental health institutions were closed down, there was supposed to be funding for a whole system of community-based residences. Congress never followed through on those funding. And I can tell you that mental illness is one of the biggest drivers of disability benefits, SSI, Medicaid. And it's really a shame, because if more support was given to housing, to giving families more options to advocate for their disabled loved ones, they can get to a level of independence much, much faster.
Right. I know my son went through, he went through Easter Seals, 24/7 guidance counselors there, 12-hour, 8-hour, 4-hour. Finally, he was allowed to go into a home where Easter Seals would come once a week, and they could either take him shopping or whatever. But he and another fellow lived in it, and there was two other guys next to them. It was a side-by-side type thing. And from there, he went to his own apartment, which he's been in for, like I said, a little over 8 years now.
That's really great, and it shows that with the right supports, you can step-by-step increase someone's level of independence and get them more fully functioning in the community, because that's what they need and deserve to be able to do.
Right.
Because, as you said, there's a person behind that mental health condition. They're more than just their illness, but having these proactive systems and really applying it to a state level is something that the legislature really needs to develop more funding for, because ultimately the staff in this state, New Jersey, is blessed in terms of its medical institutions, the types of doctors it has, the cutting edge research that's being done.
Right.
And these individuals that really pour their heart and soul into working with individuals with severe mental illness need to have more authority under the law, as well as more funding to be able to provide even more services. And one thing I also wanted to mention for families that are struggling is there's something called PACT, which the ACT stands for Assertive Community Treatment. Every county has an organization like that, and they can come out to the house to assess an individual. In addition, every county has a mobile response team, and I encourage families to talk to them. They're available 24 hours. And NAMI's very good about spreading the word about that. If you're unsure of if you should call, if your child needs to go to the hospital or not, you can always speak to them and they can lend a helping hand.
Right.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins saying that he's jumping into the Senate race to challenge Kelly Loeffler. He made the announcement this morning.
The people of Georgia, we're getting ready for a good time down here to keep defending this president, keep it working for the people of Georgia.
President Trump had urged Governor Brian Kemp to pick Collins for the seat vacated by Johnny Isakson in December, but he chose businesswoman Loeffler instead. Now the two Republicans will battle for the seat. Exactly how it will play out remains to be seen. A bill is currently working its way through the Georgia legislature that would do away with the free-for-all November election and replace it with traditional primaries in May. House impeachment managers and the president's defense team will begin facing questions from senators shortly. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts will read the written questions aloud once senators submit them. This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And I have my master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor, and I have a license. So I'm a licensed professional counselor. I've got a small practice here in Flemington. My little jingle says that my webpage is altarolecounselor.net, and it is altarolecounselor.com. So it's not net, it's .com. And I am going to be talking today about self-help groups. However, what I had brought up at home is not showing up now. Let's see if I can get it. So I'm going to talk today about self-help groups. And one of the reasons is January is Self-Help Group Awareness Month. And, you know, when people think of self-help groups, so when you think of a self-help group, generally what comes to mind is AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's probably the, really? I'm going to need a self-help group for signing on here. It's really one of the most popular, well-known groups that are out there. I recommend it to many people. Now, what is a self-help group in general? Sometimes they are they're related to various amounts of things. But they usually are groups in which members of the group share the same issue. They may have similar conditions, similar situations. Generally, they are held in churches, hospitals, libraries may have a self-help group. They're usually very informative. They are supportive, and they are very inexpensive. So generally, it's a pass the basket type of thing. They generally do not have a specific leader, though they do have a specific purpose. And it really is about people who are coming together with a similar issue that are coming to support each other, learn from each other, and grow. There's usually a belief behind the self-help group that is shared by the group members. There is usually some type of group laws. I'm going to call it group rules, group rules, such as anything that you hear here stays here. Confidentiality is really important. If you need support, we're going to pass around a phone list. So please sign up for the phone list if you're interested in connecting with one person specifically to use as a sponsor. That's something that AAA does. They want people to sponsor you. And what that means is somebody really to guide you through the self-help group. It generally is a way to promote understanding and healing amongst group members. Let me see if I can get this other page open here, because I liked some of the things that that's sharing. Not sure what's going on. I don't know why that is. Anyway, so there are such a variety of self-help groups. I need a self-help group for things like, I'm not sure why I'm not connected. For technology, because I am generally technologically challenged. Luckily, I have what is called a hotspot on my, and so I'm going to see if I could get that going. So let me cut to a commercial break, and I will work on this, and I will be right back talking to you a little bit more about self-help groups.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Well, welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, and now I am connected to my hotspot so that I have some information that I can just look at. I go online to when I have a topic and just something that will just sort of trigger conversation for me. I generally don't sit here and read it. Anybody could do that. But I'm going to say self-help groups. Like I said, AA tends to be the most well-known self-help group. It is a 12-step group. It is what you would say is open-ended. So an open group means that anybody could come and anybody could leave at any time during the process of the group. A closed group, which is generally something that is run by somebody like myself, like a therapist, usually has a beginning and an end. In other words, I'm going to run a group on anger management for 12 weeks. I may advertise for it. I may do a little bit of interviewing for people who want to come in and do an anger management group. And then we have generally some, you know, things that we're going to work on through that 12-week period to work on anger management. However, that doesn't mean there is not an anger management support group that is open to the public so that anyone at any time could go into the group, gain support, gain knowledge, possibly get a sponsor, work through some of the issues, and maybe even find that after a while they don't need to go any longer. Generally speaking, a group like Alcoholics Anonymous suggests that you go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And the reason why that happens is it takes roughly 90 days to 100 days for our brain to create a new habit. So that's a really interesting thing. the 12-step groups can also include groups like Narcotics Anonymous, Nicotine Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, Opiates Anonymous, so Marijuana Anonymous. So it's Alcoholics Anonymous, which was founded in 1935, has broken down into these many different factions so that someone who's struggling with cocaine may not get the same benefit as somebody struggling with alcohol and or heroin. At the same time, anybody is welcome in any of these groups. In addition to that, we have things like Gambling Anonymous, Sex and Love Anonymous, Shopping Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous. Did I say Overeaters Anonymous? I probably did. But these are all based on 12 steps. We have people who struggle with codependency, so it's called CODA or Codependency Anonymous. And we have Al-Anon. Al-Anon is for people who have family members and or friends that are struggling with addiction of any sort. And it could be people that have not yet gotten into recovery and people who have been in recovery for a long time. So let's say I get involved in a relationship with somebody and he's got 15-year sobriety. I may want to go to Al-Anon. So it doesn't have to be that someone is actively using. It could be someone has years of recovery. Same thing with codependency or CODA, where it is a 12-step group. Now, these 12-step groups are interesting in that they tend to be spiritually based. So they talk about a higher power. It can be God. It can be just the group. And I share that with clients all the time, you know. So if I've got five people that have more knowledge about, I don't know, anything, computers, that they've got more power than I have. So that would be they would then sort of be my higher power in that particular venue. So it doesn't have to be that it's necessarily a God or a Christian God. It could be if you're Jewish, it could be if you're Muslim, it could be if you're Buddhist or Hindu. It really you know doesn't matter. But basically it's, you know, and trying to do this on my own, I can't. I need support. So support from my higher power, support from the group, support from my sponsor. It probably is, AA is probably still the most widely known, widely attended self-help groups. But you can also, you can find these self-help groups online. So you can actually go to an AA meeting that is now online. You can find chat rooms, forums, closed networks, open meetings, closed meetings. Same thing with, I'm going to say all the 12-step programs. Closed meetings, open meetings, there's big book meetings, step meetings, speaker discussion meetings. There's quite array. But then there are other groups. There are groups for people struggling with bipolar, eating disorders, anxiety, depression. Parents Without Partners is a support group. grief recovery groups. Living with someone who has mental illness. You know, an anorexia support group, NEDA, National Eating Disorder Association, has support groups. You can go online and just really cancer recovery support groups and support groups for people who have a loved one struggling with cancer. There are caregivers support groups. So someone who is, I'm going to say, like in my situation where we have parents, elderly parents that we're taking care of, there are support groups. I am a member of an online support group. There are things such as Weight Watchers Anonymous online. I mean, Weight Watchers online, and they have support groups. There's Adult Children of Alcoholics and Adult Children of Dysfunction support groups, both in meetings and online support. So as you can see, there is a huge variety of support groups. And what they really do is they, you know, I have been members of support groups for 35 years or so, maybe longer. I probably went to my first 12-step support group in 1983. I'm going to say 1983-1984, when I was married, first husband living in California. I actually went to an Overeaters Anonymous group, and they were saying, sounds like you probably should go to an Adult Children of Alcoholics support group. And so I did, and I've been in support groups pretty much ever since. You know, a Bible study is a type of support group. It's anywhere where you can find some kind of help, support. It's support. You know, to have someone there that's going to be caring, listening, empathetic, sharing their strength, sharing their experience, sharing their hope, saying, I'm here for you. If you're struggling with something, please give me a call. I'll give you a ride. I'll pick you up. I'll take you places you may not be able to get to yourself because maybe you've lost your license. And the thing that's really, again, I'm going to stress is confidentiality. So, you know, I don't go and I don't say I got neighbor A on this side and I got neighbor B on this side, and I go to a support group meeting and I find that neighbor A is at the support group. I don't go to my neighbor B and go, hey, guess who I saw at the support group the other night? Like, we don't do that, because a support group is about helping people feel safe, and be safe so that they can share things that they need to share about whatever the struggle is that they're going through. And I think that the wonderful thing about support groups is there are such a vast variety. I didn't look it up, but I am pretty sure that if I wanted to look up supportgroups.gov, let's see, supportgroups.gov, because I have a book in my office. About spelling it right. Just see what happens, because I know that there are books. And that's the thing. How can I? Okay, Health Finder support groups. healthfinder.gov, support groups. How do I find a local support group? Self-help group source book online. There are support groups for military families, children of military personnel with traumatic brain injuries, with post-traumatic stress. There's patient and caregiver mentoring program, the ALS Association support group, brain aneurysm support group. Just to name a few. So often There's suicide prevention support groups. So often we feel, or a support group of people who have experienced someone, a loved one in their lives who have committed suicide. So there's just so many ways that we can, and so many support groups that we can, we don't really need to be alone. The difference between support group and therapy, a therapy group or working with a therapist, is something that I do want to talk about, because sometimes people go to a support group when they may actually need some therapy. So I'm going to take another little commercial break, and I'm going to come back and talk about the difference between a support group and therapy. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. My master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor. I am a licensed professional counselor here in New Jersey. And I'm talking about support groups. So generally I would play one more commercial, but I just thought that that NAMI commercial was really important to hear because it talks about different groups. Some groups are a 6-week group and some are support groups. And so again, there is a difference between having an open-ended support group where anybody can enter the group and leave the group at any time along the period of, you know, I might be going to a support group for years. Like people who are in AA, a lot of them go for, you know, once or twice a week after they've got long-term sobriety for, it's just sort of the rest of my life. Diabetes support group may go for the rest of my life. But if it's an anger management group, I might go for a short period of time. If it is something where, I'm going to say this, where I go to church, my husband and I are offering a Christian marriage counseling group. It is going to be 12 weeks. So we've got some specific things. It's a support group, but it's also a didactic, educational group where we've got specific things that we're going to cover in that 12-week period so that people learn about communication and relationship building and how to argue in a healthy way and how to manage money, talk about budget and child rearing and going on dates. And so as you can see, there's many different facets to healthy setting boundaries and limits. I have to say that almost every show, right? So there are many, many different topics that we are going to cover in 12 weeks, but it is a support group. It's not a therapy group. So therapy, the difference between a therapy group is really where you do offer, and you generally do have a therapist there, a social worker, psychologist, someone who is actually sort of managing the group where you do therapy. And therapy is usually where you begin to talk about deeper issues. So it's not just learning coping skills from someone else. Well, how did you manage to get through that? I want to learn about your coping skills and how I could apply it to myself or gain some education. But it's working a little bit deeper. So it's not just the development of a coping skill, but you know, why did I never develop that coping skill, or what was going on in my life that had that happen? And so oftentimes therapy gets us to sort of look into the past a little bit more and begin to look at some root causes for things, whereas the support group, really, you don't do that. I'm learning how to negotiate life through new gaining support, gaining some self-awareness. There are some statistics, and it's an old statistic. I have it in my office. It's a little AA pamphlet. And it says that only 10% of people who go to AA stay sober. So if 100 people go, only 10 are going to stay sober. When you add therapy, so you've got 10 people that stay sober, but when you add therapy, 67%. So that means if out of those 100 people, if they all went to therapy, 67% would continue with AA and therapy. They would stay sober. It's an incredibly large increase. So therapy, another way to look at therapy, and I had, was it a year ago? Maybe even a little bit longer. I had some neck pain, and I went to some therapy, and talking to the physical therapist, it was so interesting to compare physical therapy with what I do as a counselor, psychotherapy, in that, yeah, you know, you got to push yourself. You got to go a little deeper. It's going to be more painful. You have to put things into practice a little bit more. So support, you know, I broke my leg. I get support by using a crutch. Physical therapy says, yeah, I want you to use the crutch, and we're going to stretch out that leg. We're going to get you to walk on it. We're going to get you to do exercises. You're going to learn how to put weights on it. You're going to build the muscle and learn how, and it's going to heal better. It's going to heal differently. Yeah, I could just use a crutch, but I may have a limp the rest of my life, whereas with therapy, I may be, you know, really back to where I was and maybe even better, stronger. I'm going to say that's sort of the difference there between just the support, any support, and also getting therapy. As I was saying, there's oh my gosh, I mean, I'm just looking, and this is healthfinder.gov. Families Anonymous Meeting Directory, Family Caregiver Alliance Groups. And these are all find a chapter of adult children with attention deficit, find a Codependence Anonymous meeting, National Ovarian Cancer Coalition, Nicotine Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous. Like, what in the world is that? People who are addicted to emotion? Yes, as a matter of fact, there are people who are addicted to chaos, and they're over-emotional, and they're just, one of those. And it's addicted, there is an addiction to that kind of emotion, that kind of, that chaos. Depression and bipolar, brain tumor, it's just amazing. There's even things here I can't even pronounce. Infertility support groups, lung cancer. So it really I'm going to say, as a human being, we all have something. We all have something in our lives where getting some additional support is not necessarily a bad idea. We have still this, and one of the reasons I do counselors chat is about removing the stigma around seeking out help. We have this idea that I can do it alone. And that is a sort of a fundamental American, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps kind of thing, which on one hand is not necessarily a bad thing. To be self-reliant and responsible. And it's important to know our limitations. So I can go to Short People's Anonymous group, and we can talk about the challenges of being short and get a lot of, yeah, me too. You go to the grocery store and the everything I want, it's, you know, like I really need is on the top shelf and there's only three of them left. And so they're way in the back on the top shelf and I can't reach them. And we could all say, yeah, isn't that just, it's just really, you know, and then they make kitchen cabinets and you can't reach, I can't reach to the top of my kitchen cabinets without, you know, like everywhere I go, I need some kind of a stool or some kind, something to step on so I can reach something because, you know, and so we can all talk about that and how frustrating it is, and we can do that. But recognizing that we also have that limit, it's a limitation, doesn't mean that I don't say we can't ask for help. I can complain about it all the time. But asking for help sometimes is part of what we need to do. So there's support, and well, you know how I do it? When I'm at the grocery store, I find a pair of tongs, and I can reach back and I can pull out what I'm getting. And someone else will say, well, one of the things that I do is I find a step stool, because some grocery stores have little step stools for short people, and you know, and that really helps, so that I'm getting some help that way. And I have no problem saying, excuse me, you're taller than I am. Would you mind helping me and getting that item from the top shelf back there? And so knowing your limitation and being able to ask for help, learning how to ask for help when it is a real limitation, it's a good thing. And sometimes that's what we learn in support groups, that it's okay to ask for help because we have some limitations. So I don't know, if I am going to a support group with people that have severe cataracts and we can't see anymore and we need to seek out help for asking people, I'm okay to ask. I can call an Uber, right? I can do that. I get a taxi. I can sit at home and do nothing, or I can ask for help. You know, so all of those things, asking for help, seeking out support is an important part of gaining support and joining a support group. Recognize there's restless leg syndrome. I recognize that I've got an issue and I want to hear how other people deal with it. What do you do when you have restless leg syndrome? What medications do you take? Are there any exercises? Are there some treatments that I don't know about? So these are just things that going to support groups can be really helpful. I'm going to take another little commercial break. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselors Chat, and I will be back in just a few moments to finish up today's program.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. And I'm talking about support groups, what they are, and how they're a little different from going to a therapy group, where a therapy group is where you do deeper work. A support group and often has a counselor or social worker that leads the group, whereas a support group, people can volunteer to be the leader for that particular day or that month. They definitely have some rules that they may have, that they may live through or abide by, keeping things anonymous. No crosstalk. Crosstalk means one person really talks at a time, and if I'm sharing something, then everybody is not going to go, well, I think you should, and well, I think you, well, this is a good idea. If you were to do that, that would be also considered crosstalk. Often support groups are based in using I statements. So I may talk about something that I am struggling with. I am struggling with staying away from sugar. I'm in a diabetes support group, and I love my donuts in the morning. And someone else, instead of crosstalk, would be, well, I think what you should do is stop buying donuts. Crosstalk, that would be crosstalk. Otherwise, it's, well, when I had that struggle with morning breakfast crumb cake, this is what I did to deal with it. So I'm talking about my experience, hoping my experience is going to be supportive for you. And you may say, you know what, that sounds like a really good idea. I'm going to see if I could put that into practice in my own life. And that's part of what happens in support groups. As I said, support groups generally are open, so anybody can go in at any time. You can go on healthfinder.gov. I've got that up here. There's the National Stuttering Association support groups for stutterers, thyroid cancer survivors, incest anonymous, sexaholics anonymous. So you can see that, you know, and I'm just mentioning a few. I have a book in my office. It's roughly, I guess, what is that, 3 inches thick? And in that book, we have all of the states, all 50 states. And then each state lists all of the different types of support groups that are offered in that particular state. We have the Hunterdon County Helpline here in Hunterdon County. So if you were to call or look up the Hunterdon County Helpline and say, I really need some support, and I'm not sure where to go, do you have any suggestions for me? And they do. They have suggestions. Here's a support group, Compassionate Friends. Here's one, Mend Hearts support group. People who have had broken hearts. Okay. And the Congenital Heart Information Network support groups. So, the computer is a great resource. Remember, you do not need to be struggling or suffering alone. Sometimes I think that I may have all the information I need. I don't really need any more help. I've been doing it this way and it's been working just fine. Okay. So, pushing out a little bit and finding that I'm going to go to a Parents Without Partners support group because I've got three kids and my spouse is gone. However my spouse is gone, doesn't matter. I'm going to go and I'm going to hear other people talk about how they've figured out how to manage their time better. Some parenting tips. When I'm feeling, you know, somebody says, listen, you know, give me a call if you're feeling really overwhelmed. Give me a call. I'll come and get a cup of coffee with you. We'll sit and talk about what's going on, or I'll suggest a book that, you know, I read this book. It was really great. Maybe it'll help you. I don't know. It's the way that we can exchange information and decide, you know what, I don't, even though I might be a parent without a partner, I'm really not alone. I do have support. I do have other people. There's moms groups, so moms helping moms. And one of the things that I know that happens in this, they don't get together necessarily, I don't think, to have sort of like a every Tuesday night support group meeting. But what they do is say, if you need to go to the grocery store, I'd be more than willing to watch your child or your kids for 2 hours. And then next week, I have a doctor's appointment and a dentist appointment back to back. Would you mind watching my kids for 2 hours? And so there's sort of this, we're all kind of helping each other out. And that's that mom's helping moms. And so that's sort of an interesting type of way of support. You know, now that the families, so much divorce, and it's not uncommon that you have, you're living in New Jersey and your brother's living in Massachusetts and your parents are down in Florida and Aunt Mabel is living in Colorado and, my grandparents are in the villages, you know, whatever, in assisted living somewhere, you know, and so that nucleus family that used to be able to say, oh, yeah, you know, because like I remember when I was a kid, it's like my grandmother's house was here and three houses down was Aunt Jenny's house. And Aunt Jo lived just a few blocks away, and my Aunt Mary was just a couple miles away. And if anybody needed anything, we were all there. We were just there. And we don't have that anymore. That kind of familial support really is not there for many of us. And I'm going to say all of us, but many of us. And we do have benefits like Skype and those types of things, phone obviously, so we can connect that way, but it's not the same. And sometimes if I have issues within my own family and I need support, I know I can go and find support that either I'm going to go to a meeting every Wednesday night, I go to a meeting, or I can go online, I've got a Monday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, AA meeting online. And so these things are really important. Chat, like I said, chat rooms, forums. I don't even have to use my real name if I don't want, but it's a place where I can go and find out that, wow, I'm not alone. I'm not struggling through this issue all by myself. There are other people that have similar situations that are struggling in a similar way. And when we begin to recognize that we're not alone, we actually begin to feel stronger. We learn things from other people. We move forward. We grow. So I think when we combine therapy with support groups, I suggest that all the time to clients. I think that that is a huge benefit. Don't discount it. Doesn't matter what you're struggling with. Finances, relationship, mental health issues, physical health issues, caregiving issues. There's support. There's help. You don't have to do any of it alone. You can go to a meeting. You can find it online. And, of course, you could always talk to a therapist. If you have any questions or would like more information about me, again, I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselors Chat. You can find Counselors Chat on Facebook. And you can go to altarollcounselor.com. That's Alta with an A, Roll, two L's, Counselor, OR.com, to find out more information about what I do, my practice. I have a small practice here in Flemington. I would say the majority of my clients are struggling with addiction, either their own struggle or someone in their lives, family, friend. But I also deal with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, obsessive-compulsive disorder. I do couples counseling. So there's quite a variety of things that I, anger management. So please go on to counselors, altarollcounselor.com to find out more about what I do. You can see other programs from Counselors Chat and, of course, on the Facebook page, Counselors Chat. You can see other shows, that other topics that I've done there. And you can always give me a call at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. And I wish you all good mental health, and I will be back next week with Counselors Chat. And I am Ruth Altamura Roll, signing off for today's program.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselors Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. chartered plane evacuating 201 Americans from Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus outbreak began, continued on to Southern California after everybody on board passed a health screening test in Anchorage, Alaska. Dr. Ann Zink is Alaska's medical officer.
All passengers had already been screened twice before they left China. They were monitored throughout the flight. And in Anchorage, the passengers were screened twice more and were approved to continue on to California by the CDC.
So far, 132 people have died from the coronavirus in China. President Trump has signed the new trade deal with Mexico and Canada, the USMCA agreement. It allows most of the $1.2 trillion in trilateral trade to continue unchanged. The agreement will not go into effect until Canada ratifies it. This is USA Radio News.
130 million Americans made resolutions for 2020, with more than half focused on health. But most resolutions are broken by February. To help you start down the path toward better health outcomes, Ancestry Health is delivering actionable insights for you and your family. Marjan Champagne, Ancestry spokesperson and board-certified and licensed genetic counselor.
Through a supportive, actionable, and affordable experience, Ancestry Health includes access to educational information, genetic counseling resources, printable consumer and physician-ready reports, and a family health history tool, so you can take proactive steps with your healthcare provider to address potential health risks identified in your genes and family health history.
Why is the time right for Ancestry Health?
Your genes don't need to be your destiny. Understanding your familial and inherited health risks can help you take action to improve your chances of better health now and in the future.
Start down the path toward better health with Ancestry.com/health.
Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins is running for the U.S. Senate, USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The outspoken Republican Collins.